The man teaching made a statement and he jumped up and said, you cannot be serious. The guy turned to an argument in a Bible class, Bible school. He said, you can't be serious. The man gave one scenario and the guy said, I'm sorry, sir. I thought you preached a healing Jesus. I thought you preached that Jesus heals. How can you give that scenario to justify divorcing my wife? For what? And the man said, you are talking like this because it has not yet happened to you. And the guy scattered the whole class. Never forgot that statement. That arrant nonsense. Who cares what has happened to me and what has not happened to me? Am I the word of God? Who cares what has happened to me? So you are talking like this because it has not happened to you. I'm talking like this because that's what the word of God says. Even if all my life I experienced, that's why Job said, because Job, you must understand something. Job had bragged. Go and check it. He was from the same school as his friends who came to counsel him. And they told him, if you have never done anything wrong, this kind of thing will have not happened to you. And he said to them, tell me what I have done wrong. He itemized every single commandment he knew and showed them that he had never broken any one of them. Then he added the statement, which way I'm going. He said, even though he slays me, yet I will trust him. That means if all my life I don't experience it the way God says it, I don't care. It is still the truth of the word of God. Maybe one day I get to heaven, I find out why I did not experience it. But I'm not going to water it down just to fit my ideal life. You understand my point? The life I'm trying to paint as if it is ideal. Do you get what I'm going to say? So we're talking about the sayings of God. You know what we're saying? This is his ideal. This is his perfect will. This is what we are going after. He said, even though he said this, we do not yet see man subject to him. So if all things subject to man. Even though he said, I have put everything in subjection under his feet. He said, but we don't yet see it. He said, however, we do see Jesus. Who for a moment was went through the... Let me not quote it wrongly. Just let's go back there. Hebrews chapter 2. He said, but we do see him who has been made for a little while lower than the angels. Namely, Jesus. He was made a little while because of the suffering of death. We see him crowned with glory and honor. We see him crowned with glory and honor. So that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through suffering. Let me just stop it there. What am I saying? What he was saying is simple. Everybody may not have experienced it, but Jesus has experienced it. And if you read further down, later in Hebrews chapter 12, he talked about looking unto Jesus, who is the author and what? The finisher of faith. What he meant is simple, all right? That he had to go through a process. I'm summarizing everything and the whole of the book of Hebrews. He had to go through a process for him to experience that crowning with glory and honor which God determined for every man. And in doing that, he opened a way. That is, if anybody walks in his footpaths and walks in his footsteps, what they will find is that they will also experience the glory and honor with which he was crowned. But you are not allowed at any point in time to reduce the standard of God just because you have never seen it manifested. One of my greatest heroes in modern days faith, well, when I say modern day, I don't mean 21st this century, at least in the last 200 years, at least not Bible time, that's what I mean, is John Graham Lake. John Graham Lake saw all kinds of miraculous manifestations of the power of God. His book is always at the head of my bed because any day I'll just pick one and read a few lines. It blesses me every time. It's good to read men thoroughly. Are you getting my point? There's a reason why I'm saying so. If you read John G. Lake alone when he was in full manifestation, you think that's how he was all his life. John G. Lake, we pray for, listen, he, at a point in time, he used to experience, he just used to play with the power of God. He would go to where nobody believes in God. Maybe this is where juju men are praying for the people who are sick. He will go there and go and stand. Say, when people finish, let me do too. It's the kind of thing he used to do. Once he had all kinds of people gather, so he had to bring 5 sick people. They brought 5 sick people. Were 5 severely, critically sick, sick as unto death people. He allowed everybody to do all kinds of things they could do. He was watching. When they finished, he got up, laid hands on 5 of them. 3 got healed instantly. 1 got healed over the next few days. The other one did not recover. Now, this interesting part about it. He did that in the demo. Nobody there was a believer, apart from him. That's the kind of life he lived. But when I read his story, he said there was a time he and his friends, they would go to places to go and pray for those who are sick. And they will finish praying the normal prayer, religious prayers, and get up and they will leave. And he will be angry inside himself. That I can't imagine Jesus walking in here and walking out like this. He did not experience it. Are you getting my point? But he refused to doubt it. Others will say, the age of miracles is past. John Gillick said, I lie. It's not past. The issue is that we just don't know how to connect with that power. You see, that's why you don't lower these standards. You don't lower these standards. Because when you do, you eternally miss something. But if you refuse to lower it, eventually, are you getting my point? God will open your eyes and you will see where something has been preventing you from connecting with that glory. That's why I say it all the time. Reading, studying, listening to the word of God is not a hobby for Christians. Let me say it again. There are things you will never experience as a married man, as a married woman, until you learn certain truths. I don't know everything, of course. How can I? That's not a humble statement. You know, that's a statement of fact. Just trying to reinforce what you already knew. Have you? Uh-huh. Have you met somebody who knows everything? You met one? All right. Uh-huh. I hope you don't think in your mind, by any stretch of imagination, you have met one before. And definitely, whichever one you've met is not me. Amen? Say amen now. I command you to say amen. Don't put me in trouble, I beg. I'm going to pray. Say, Father, I thank you because Pastor Banky knows everything. He doesn't know everything, all right? Now, with the little I know, there are some things I'm enjoying, all right? And you know, there's something about life. A lot of blessings you have, you don't know they are blessings because you've never been without them. Do you get my point? Everybody take a deep breath. Let's have it. For most people here, you don't know what it means not to be able to do that. So you have never really consciously considered breathing a blessing. There are many things you're enjoying like that in life you don't know. I'm bringing out something, all right? I'm bringing out something. I'm using my as an example. There are so many things I am enjoying as a person. Are you getting my point? That a lot of people don't realize it is possible. You see some happily married people. Their wives don't know how much money they have. And they are happily married. They think they are happily married. And I look at them and I laugh. That there's a degree of joy you have not yet experienced. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen. What brings forth joy in that area or in many areas, all right, is the knowledge that you have in that area. It's not an anointing. Nobody can live. People have said that the same joy I have, come and receive it. That nonsense. You can't receive it. He said, but Jesus said, my peace I leave with you after they have stayed with him for how many years? Are you getting my point? He was not just, I lay my peace on you right now. No. For the last few years, he had been breathing that peace into them by words. They would try and say, come, don't do that. You don't know the kind of spirit that you have. Then he would tell them the kind of spirit that they have. He had been teaching them for a long time. Then finally he said, my peace, I live with you. It's a process that finally culminated in that day when he prayed for them and maybe laid hands on them and left. What am I saying? I said, I don't know everything. Which means there are many things I'm not enjoying yet. Are you getting my point? And the little that I know, there are many people who are not even enjoying that one. And you see young men, young women, they want to marry. They will invest money. Gown. 1 month looking at Gown magazine. No. This is the old Elizabethan style. No, in the last 15 years, they have brought out this other one. This waist is like this, and then the edges have... Oh, God. You wear that thing for 4 hours, and that's the end. And thank God these days, you don't even buy it anymore. You rent it. 1 month. And tell the person, listen, this set of books is just 3,000 naira. You read them, and your marriage will be excellent. Eh? 3,000 naira. These books are costly. One day, somebody came up here to see me. God forgive me. Maybe I should try and forget that thing after today. Because I've not forgotten. This was many years ago. And saw our books and told me that the book, The Blessing, I don't mind how many of you remember The Blessing, that was, I'll reprint it over the next few weeks, all right? That was being sold for 100 naira was expensive. How many of you remember The Blessing? That book, The Blessing. He said, no, they're expensive. You have come to me for counseling. You didn't bring an offering. Yes. The book is expensive. You have come to me for help. You didn't say, man of God, this is the offering I brought to. No. You saw a book that you wanted to read, that I wrote, that has been printed for 100 naira, and as God is my witness, I was not aware there were Christian books cheaper than that. You know, I don't overprice. You, look, for goodness sake, you book today's CD, how much do you pay for it? 50 naira. If you were around 2 weeks ago, you booked Tuesday's message. It came to you how many CDs? 2 CDs. How much did you pay? 50 naira. You're sure it didn't cover the cost of production. So I was... The book, let me not go near there. Call it expensive all you like. There are things inside there that if you don't read, you will never experience some glories from God. And if somebody has 15 naira, says a book is expensive at 100, I understand. Somebody who drives a car, na lie. Because that 100 naira at that time was not buying 2 liters of fuel. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. Why are those things precious? Why must you spend time and energy on them? Because without them entering into your heart, there are certain glories you will never experience. There are. And God is not mocked. He has tied some things together. Whatever God has joined together, it's not only man and woman he joins together. The entrance of the word is tied to the entrance of glory. He cannot force the glory in without the word going in first. Even God does not put them asunder. They've been tied together. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen. God's word is the ideal. There's something he said in that Romans chapter 12. He talked about discerning the will of God. He said the will of God is good, it is acceptable, and it is perfect. Listen, anything you experience short of that will of God, there is a reason why you are experiencing it. And that's one of the reasons. You know, I told you, last time I was saying something. That there's only one God with you. There's no local idol. If you're a believer in Christ Jesus, say amen. You know what that means? By that, you're amen. It means that no witch can cause disturbance in your soul. So nobody should come and deceive you. That the problem... I hear this all the time. I will never stop saying it. How many gods are with you? One. Are there other gods with him? No. If you don't know what we're talking about, go and listen to last of this message. Alright? Only one God is in charge of your life. And the fact that your great grandfather was a juju priest cannot alter that fact. Did you hear what I said? Listen, there is no concussion buried in your grandfather's compound that's worrying you. You don't need any prayer contractor. The other day, they actually told me about a fasting contractor. Yeah, it sounds funny. My wife was there. When they told me about one guy who, he didn't want with me that day when they were discussing the thing. The guy who died, he used to fast for people. Oh, I came home and told you about it. But I wasn't alone. I wasn't alone that day. They said, the young man, if you go, maybe you go to a church and the priest looks at you, again, ring bell. All your problems, all you need is 3 days fast and prayer. And you judge that, nah, not fast. You go and meet that guy. You will pay him. You will eat. Go about your business. I'm not joking about it. Sounds fun, right? True gist in this Enugu way we do. Not a joke. All he used to do was fast for people. So when you see the guy like this, eh? He's a literal case of a fasted life. One day he died. Yes, one day he just became ill and he died. And I know spiritual things. I said, you know why that boy died? All the evil prophecies those people were bringing to him, he was collecting it with their money. That's not Christianity. Those things are not Christianity. That's spiritualism. Yes, those things are real. That boy was buying debt, he did not know. He said, I go church. They say, me, I fast for 4 days. And the guy will say, 4 days. Okay, come back in 3 days. I'll finish the one I'm doing, right? Now, hey, one guy don't pay me for 1 week. Oh. Ah! And I'm not run out concurrently. So the current contract will expire in 3 days. And the guy, for pay, you get in charge. If you be that kind, maybe 3K a day. So for that 3 days, you will give the guy 9K for the fast, 1K for break the fast. 10,000. I mean, he was making money. Except that one day, all the evil he was using spiritualism to divert from people. He was gathering them, he did not know. And the day he needed to fast, he had so used up his own capacity to fast, there was nothing to use to fast for his own life. So the evil spirits gathered and killed him. For obstructing all their works in other people's lives, they killed him. You don't need a fasting contractor. That's what I'm going. You don't need a prayer contractor. You have already been delivered. Are you getting my point? There is no... Listen. There are no witches. The devil is not your problem. One day the Lord asked Satan, where are you coming from? He said, I know where to avoid. Forget about it. Was that not what he said? He said, from running to and fro. He said, concerning my servant Job. He said, Job, that was danger zone. He said, you have surrounded him with one edge so dangerous, the last set of demons I sent are still in hospital. And as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so you are surrounded. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? That's your life. If you have faith in Christ Jesus, that's what your life is. Now, having said that, I said, we discussed this before. Do Christians have problems? Yes. Without going into details about it, God leaves those things as... Now, that's not the only principle, all right? That's not the only principle. But I'll use that one to explain something. He leaves those things as barometers to let you know there are things you need to put in place. There are things you need to correct. Listen, I've said this several times. The number one thing God is doing in your life is not to make you prosper. Listen, if material poverty will bless you, God will leave you in it. It's not a good thing. It's not the perfect will of God. Are you getting my point? We are discussing the perfect will of God, all right? But if material poverty will bless you, God will not deliver you from it. You say, Pastor Banky, what do you mean by that? I will explain. There's foolishness. Amen? Foolishness makes sure that prosperity destroys the owner. So if foolishness is in your soul, God will never put prosperity on your head. Because the prosperity of his fool, of the fool, what does what? Destroys him. So God said, listen. Lest this boy be destroyed, leave him in problems. Listen. There are a lot of people. The reason why God has not prospered them is because of the safety of their neighbors. Did you hear what I said? God said, this one. As the day is living like that. Once you make him increase, he will buy a car and block the gate. And everybody should wait for him to finish bathing before they go out. But in his mind, in his heart. And listen, I've told you, the other day when I was preaching, I was here on Tuesday. I said, there are things you must win yourself from. If as a Christian, you are still thinking, I need to get into government office so I can enjoy. Listen, you will never win an election in your life in Jesus' name. Amen. And God will frustrate you. You will do everything necessary. But God said, don't let him win. Don't let him win. If he wins, we're in trouble. I know what I'm saying. So God said, listen, before you pray for prosperity, please, if you are not here, then go and listen to the message, the series, the 100-fold blessing. Before you pray for prosperity, pray to remove that foolishness that will have made prosperity destroy you. I wanted to start that today. I don't know whether I'll be able to get there. The perfect will of God is prosperity. That here, amen. Where I wanted us to read, beginning from, is second. That's 3 John chapter, verse 2, because just one chapter. The elder was writing to a man called Gaius. That's John. Quickly open there. He said, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. He said, beloved. I love the King James expression here. He said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. I'm using the New American Standard. It says, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. People have said this is just a greeting. I agree it's a greeting, but it's not just a greeting. This is an elder, a man who walked with the Lord Jesus when he was alive, who had walked with God all his life, so he knows the mind of God. And he was telling this man, this is my wish for you. This is my prayer. It's the same person who said, if we ask anything according to his will, what happens? He hears us in 1 John chapter 5. The same person would not come around and pray what is against the will of God. So he says, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health. Listen, prosperity is the will of God. If you believe that, say amen. And if you don't believe it, please start believing it. The Bible says clearly that God be blessed or be praised who delights, he says, in the prosperity of his servants. That's Psalm 35. Don't bother opening to it now, but if you want, you can write that Psalm 35, verse 27. God delights in the prosperity of his servant. God is happy if you prosper. And I mean materially. I'm not trying to be spiritual. The saying of God, let me tell you as a matter of fact, God does not ever want his children to lack. He wants them to financially be abundant. He said, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency in all things, we are bound to every good work. That's God's perfect plan. It's the perfect will of God. That's God's ideal. If for any reason you are not experiencing it, then you have to ask yourself, why am I not experiencing it? Are you getting my point? I said something. That you know what God does? He's the only one in your life. That here, amen again. Amen. Sometimes the problems of life, God sets them in place and refuses to withdraw them until we have done that which is appropriate. Now, let me explain what I'm saying. There was a time God told the children of Israel, listen, I told you to drive these people out. You did not. Nothing spoiled. Now we are not driving them out again. They will be with you. There will be irritations in your skin. Are you getting my point? Anytime you see them, now I'm paraphrasing everything now, all right, summarizing the whole thing. Anytime you see them increase and begin to dominate you, just know that you are beginning to walk in iniquity. It's not because they are strong, it's because you have become spiritually weak. Do you get the point I'm making? That, you see, you know, a few Tuesdays ago, I preached about this message titled, "What is Wrong with a King?" Can you remember that? If you're around then, say amen. I said, "What's wrong with a king?" All right? And if you were not around, please get this CD. It should be one of our MP3s now. All right? But try and get the message. So, what's wrong with a king? All right? I don't know what... I might send it around. One of these is in our... That's our email group. Okay? I just send the link around and keep the thing on our website. I said something then, in that message, that why was God angry that these people asked for a king? Is it that he did not want them to have a king at all? No, that's not it. Because if you read through their laws, you'll see he has given them provisions on how to handle the office of a king. But why he was angry was that at that time, they had neglected one thing. They had misjudged what was happening in their lives. They thought that the nations around were too strong for them because those guys had a good army, well organized under a king. So they wanted defense based on the principles that the rest of the world was using. Do you get the point I'm making? So God was angry that what happened was that they had rejected the principle of their own prosperity. Their own prosperity was dependent upon repentance and reconciliation to God. That is, if they had any problem, God said, don't ever look outward. Look where? Inwards. Listen, let me tell you this. If you have problems in Nigeria, for that reason you run to America, you know what happened? Problems wait for you there. That's one group of spirits that don't need visa. They know they follow you queue for embassy. They have friends and colleagues who are abroad. They will just phone, say, you know that foolish boy? He's coming. Wait for him at JFK. As you arrive, the taxi man that carries you is possessed. It's not by chance. His friends in Nigeria, they called him, that is the evil spirit. They networked with their partners. And they said, that one is under a curse. A curse of ignorance and refusal to repent. Finish him. You go look for work. You know, go see. Mexican will get a job before you. With all your university degree. Why? You know, God, you see, God and his children, they are, don't look at my neighbor. Eh? The moment he left, 3 years later, he built a house for his father. God said, no, wahala. Me and him are not dealing on the same matter. Me, that is, the way I'm dealing with you, is the way I'm dealing with him. You go there. 3 years, your father will sell a house to deliver you from trouble. God said, listen, see, listen to me. Come back home. Settle down. Let us settle our disagreement. Your ways are not my ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. You are thinking wrongly. Take the word of God. Settle your thinking problem. When you will have settled your thinking problem, then I will prosper you anywhere you go. If you go to Burundi, you will prosper. If you stay in Nigeria, you will prosper. If you go to Ghana, I will make presidents visit you. If you go to United States, the governor will find it an honor that you visited him. If I pour my grace upon you, that's what you will experience. You will prosper anywhere. But if you think that you will run away from the problems I've used to cage you so that you can think, you will get into a deeper problem. Now, they will put you in jail. You won't believe it. How many of you know Dominic Strauss-Kahn? It's as if God is going to tell that man, you can go to jail. Because they have released him now, you know. The whole thing is a big joke. I wasn't surprised. I mean, the guy, I doubt whether the case is going to trial. All right? Let me release the man now. The whole thing is a big joke. But as if God is there, say, listen, I can send you to jail. Now, the room where he was staying, you know how much they were paying for that room? That suit? $3,000 a night. And who sent him to jail? One immigrant from Guinea. So God just looks, oh boy, I can send it to jail. Maybe the guy was doubting. Papa God just say, you are doubting me. After the guy don't cool in, he's small.